What is it?
Hey, man, check it out, huh? Hey, it's an alien!
Cool it, guys. It's just a cat.
Mi madre, un gato!
Felis domesticus.
Now, how'd you find this place, cat?
I followed this dog.
He's lying.
Shut up, Tito.
Why would a cat follow a dog?
Yeah.
I just wanted some of the sausages they helped him get.
He's a spy, man. Come on, let's eat him. You're dead meat, kitty.
I saw him come down. Hey, that's him over there.
Hey, kitty, what took you so long?
I believe there's love, there's love. I believe there's love. I believe there's love, there's love. I believe there's love.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Snagglepuss.
This is the Festivus for the rest of us. And as all Festivuses begin, as I have learned from the great realm of Seinfeld, I have grievances to air.
That is correct.
Alright, there's a feat of strength later, Douglas, so prepare yourself. But before we get there, I have grievances to air.
Grievances, right? You say?
So Damian did this before, where he lied to us about... What was the movie? Girls Trip? Lied to us about Girls Trip. Right? Yeah, I remember when he did it to me about Bad Words. Right? Mm-hmm. But we have had this happen to us before, where one of the three of us want to game the other two.
Yep.
Douglas has now gone a step further than I think any human being has ever done to this podcast. He throws into our Excel sheet last week, and I had to double check with him because, like, I didn't think any sane man would do this. Right? He's made me watch movies about wolf people. He's made me watch movies about people who don't know how to talk English anymore. He's made me watch movies about plastic bag jellyfishing. Right?
Hey. I mean, that's accurate. He did make me watch.
Douglas, a week ago, it's threw into the spreadsheet. Let's talk about Tom Hooper's cats. So I have a story to tell before we even get to this movie. Right? I want to know if Douglas remembers this. Douglas, do you remember when we were young children and our grandmother took us to watch Cats the show?
Very vaguely.
Right. I very vaguely remember that as well. But I remember one specific thing from that experience. It's like a fever dream of childhood where you have like these very cemented points in your life where you understand something happened and you're going to take a lesson from this and never come back. Right? Damian, our grandmother used to love to take us to go and watch plays, and on occasion musicals. I remember going to see The Phantom of the Opera. I remember going to go and see Cats.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And there were,
we went to a lot of
and stuff like that. Not a lot of them stuck with me. Cats did, right? Cats stuck with me. I don't remember the songs. Yeah. I don't remember anything about it. I remember one specific thing. There was one point in the show when all of the actors ran through the aisles. And if I remember incorrectly, I was sitting in the aisle seat. And all of these actors ran through the aisles to, like, do, like, scary faces at people. And I was scared the shit that night with these people. And you know what I took away?
It makes sense why you don't like
it. And you know what I took away from this evening? I don't trust anyone in that much makeup.
Correct. Clowns and cats. That's accurate. You shouldn't.
I had a mild curiosity to watch Cats. And by that, I mean, I would have been tempted to watch it on my own accord like 6 weeks from now when I have nothing else I really wanted to look at. And I could leave without thinking too hard about it. But Douglas put cats in the spreadsheet, and I had to double check with him, and he said, yes, we're doing cats. I sent you guys a message on Friday when Douglas was like, oh, I can't do it tonight, I'm busy. Right? Mm-hmm. I was going to be upset if I was the only one here who's seen cats. I've been told I'm not the only one. But I'd like to say the more important person hasn't fucking seen cats. Right?
Yes.
I'm upset.
Douglas is indeed a piece of shit.
I don't remember what the story of this movie was going in. I just know it's a musical. This is a fucking movie about a goddamn cat idol show in which Jennifer Hudson finally fucking wins. And I spend like most of this movie not liking a lot of the songs. Like, there are a couple songs I kind of like. I have to kind of give it props to fucking Ian McShane. I liked his song. But Douglas, you know who's in this fucking movie? Ray fucking Winstone is in this movie singing a song about being the tough cat of the Thames.
Right?
Oh my god, it's awful.
Yeah, and they all sang live, eh?
I don't even fucking know. I hope they did.
No, I know. Somebody said that they sang it all
They did that for Les Mis, so it makes sense that he would try and do it again.
Well, yeah, and I think it's the same guy, so that makes sense.
But I was so upset because I spent a lot of this movie trying to find sense. Right? I tried to be like, okay, this is a movie that's really about those children who are forgotten and thrown out on the streets and they're doing this thing and all. And then when the movie ends, Damien, you probably will tell me you weren't there for the end of this movie, were you?
No.
So at the end of this movie, they do a song, Judi Dench, Jennifer Hudson wins the talent show and she flies away in a balloon. Literally.
Okay.
And
to the whatever they call the moon. What is that word that they keep using? A specific word.
I have no fucking idea. You're spent half of this movie not sure what Jellicle meant. Like, I thought they were trying to be Jellicle.
Right. Jellicle, right? Cats and Jellicle.
Nothing moons. Made fucking sense. But then when the movie ends, when the movie comes to an end, Judi Dench has this whole fucking song where she's basically telling us that no, this is about fucking cats. Like, this dude just decided one day, staring at his cats in his fucking house, and was like, what if cats fucking sing? Douglas?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I have to say, and this is something I said to Damien before, right? Because I know what people think. This is,
I'm not even getting on the graphics shit.
Well, the graphics, I really want to see that. But, I find it just almost implausible for a movie that was already essentially a movie, right? Because, I mean, let's get it straight. A play, yes, it's not the same thing. Yes, there's a lot of big differences. But if I took a camera and put it in front of a stage, that play could be a movie, right? So, a play that is, again, universally adored. And is the longest, or at least was at one stage, I don't know if it still is, running musical on Broadway. Something that people the world over think is just the greatest thing ever. How you can translate that, right? And I imagine the core of that is in this movie. How you can have that people love and then get this sort of hatred. Because, all right, let's say that you've decided to go the Sonic the Hedgehog route and say the CG is weird. Fine. But wouldn't you say the CG is weird, but it's still the musical that I love? So that seems really strange to me. But I cannot wait. Just because as you say, Andrew, we have watched a musical, but as far as I'm concerned, I haven't watched a musical. I don't remember anything. And also, let's be real. What's a Jamaican musical? They probably fucked it up. So
shots fired.
I could not wait to just watch this movie and laugh at how bad it was, and to see how far they pushed the bar. But obviously something went wrong with Carib, because before, what's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Mm-hmm. 4 days. I tried to watch this movie 4 days after it opened, and Carib had already pulled the plug and said, nah, we're not doing this.
So, for some context, when I messaged Douglas to tell him that I couldn't go watch it, and he got very upset, rightfully so, the reason I couldn't go watch it with Douglas is because I'd promised to go watch it with some lady. And so we saw it not at the 5 o'clock showing, at the 8 o'clock showing. Andrew Robinson, there's no one standing at the door to tear our tickets to go into the movie. There is no one inside of the theater. They did not turn on the lights inside of the theater because obviously there is no one in there in the preview. Like, no one was anywhere near us. And Douglas, this movie is across the board the worst thing I've seen. This year, at least, like,
it squeaks in for the decade show, right?
Douglas, like, I know you don't want to believe me when I say it is Butcher Boy-esque, but that is the only true comp. Like, it is something so bad and so nonsensical that every part of it is a mistake. Like, none of the... Andrew at least could go, well, I like some of the songs. But it starts with, like, it between when the movie started and intermission, because that is when...
I was about to ask, like, if, like, you no went past intermission, if you made it to intermission. No,
man. Like, we left to go get food at the concession stand, and I just looked at her and go, we can't just go get real food. And we just walked into the theater because there's no point. None of us wanted to see what was, like, I'm very good at laughing at things and keeping up arms house, and I was out of arms house inside of 15 minutes. I was just baffled at what I was looking at. They keep using the word Jellicle. They're Jellicle cats, there's a Jellicle moon, but they don't explain what it is. So, but they just, like, it keeps coming up enough that you're like, this has to mean something. And then half hour in, you realize nothing that I'm looking at means anything. You saw the trailer.
I'm sure that it meant something, even if it was something as simple as you can't handle all that Jellicle.
I mean, we can only hope.
Yeah.
You saw the trailer. I heard this movie was coming out. I was like, there's no way I'm watching this. I was only interested when they were sending out updates for the movie. I'm just like, I need to see what happened in this train wreck. But even, like, Douglas, my expectations could not have been low. I don't know how they could have been low. And it still fell so far.
I mean, so short. A similar situation for you and me would be, and it was this year, Detective Pokemon, right? No, where we went in worse. Deciding we were going to just make fun of it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really make fun of
it. It was like
right?
a movie.
It was a movie, but it was bad.
Yeah.
So where would you, is this better or worse,
Douglas,
than Pokemon?
This isn't a movie.
So, okay, Damien.
Like, it is a string of songs, and they move from place to place, but the songs don't make any sense. What is happening on the screen doesn't make any sense. The look of the movie washes over you immediately, and so you're like, this is People Cats? All right, movie. But then you're not expecting People Rats. Couldn't believe that they did that with children, no less. People Roaches? I was like, I can't. Like, all of the decisions made. Like, if someone had come to me and said, Damien, should we do? And every single thing in this movie, I'd have gone, do not under any circumstance do any of this.
Please tell me Al Pacino was in this movie.
I
don't know what happens in the second half. But when I saw... Jason Derulo is the first African-American cat that you see. And he has on a gold chain and, like, a scarf, like a wool scarf. And you're just like, what is happening? But what truly broke me, because I knew Derulo was in the movie, I did not know one of my favorite actresses of all time, Dame Judi Dench. When I saw her, my heart broke a little. Because I understand that you have to put grandchildren through school, and I understand that money is money. I get it. But this is beneath Judi Dench. The rest of this we all give a shit about. This is beneath her. And seeing her in the movie actually made me sad. And then she started talking. And then I saw her full out because she was like in smoke. She's the Jellicle god. Some bullshit. And then she walks out. And I was just like, this cannot be. Douglas, someone thinks this is a comedy. They're wrong. Like, they put comedians in there, but it is not working. After the first song, they like shoot their load with the comedy. They're just like, cat got your tongue. And I was just like, all right, we can't leave now. We can't wrap up the rest of this. Because this is the one joke that you guys absolutely have to wait till the end. Because it's such a corny joke. And they just went, no, we're wasting it inside of 10 minutes. And then it's James Corden and Rebel Wilson that are the comedic effect. Like, the main actress in there, her job is to look clueless. And that is all she does.
I don't want to go too heavily into graphics nonsense because, like, most people have said their deal. Like, you've seen pictures online of scenes where the hands are completely non-CG'd, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I found interesting looking at the graphics of this movie was, Damien, do you know what it means when people are talking about online games and they talk about server interpolation?
Yes.
I feel like I was seeing that completely throughout this movie. Right? Where you'd see people just glide for no reason other than the graphics weren't finished. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Like, now that he said it, there's points where it feels like someone, like, moved things around.
So, Andrew, did you see the beta version or the supposedly finished version?
I saw some things that looked bad, so I'm assuming it's the beta version. But
right, I saw real hands.
Yeah, what I've seen online version is that, you know, if you see the old version, if Judi Dench's hands are actually her hands, if they don't look
there
like
there are
hands.
A lot of scenes where it's not just Judi Dench's hands.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, man. So it's not just her, but them updating that won't do shit to this movie. That's what I can promise anyone that thinks that that is the thing that is off-putting, that watching child faces on rat bodies is... it is more horrifying than anything I saw in our next movie, The Lighthouse. Douglas, I cannot believe that this movie happened. Like, every bad thing that could have... Like, it feels like someone, like the person who put Cats on Broadway, like, got final say on this and went, I'm going to make sure that you sons of bitches never do this again. And literally hit every mark that he was supposed to tick for the movie to be good. He went, I'm putting an exit. And just all the way, at least through intermission. I don't know what the second half
so,
of
okay,
the movie is.
So, okay, just for my sake, what was the last thing you saw?
The last thing I saw was after they had their big, after Judi Dench appeared and they had their big, talent song. I was counting the songs at that point, which was a mistake because most of this is singing. And it was like song 11. And it was like the rehearsal, when they were rehearsing and the guy interrupted them. And then they went on to like some ballroom thing. And they were talking about the Jellicle Moon. That is the last. Then they're just like, intermission to save my life. And then I couldn't do any. I couldn't do anymore.
So you didn't get to see Ian McShane?
So,
okay.
No. What? Ian McShane was what in this movie? Or did he come in?
I think he kind of appeared like here and there, but you don't really see him until he does his song, which is during what I call the talent show. Right? During Cat Idol.
No, I didn't see full Cat, I saw the rehearsal bit after Judi Dench, which again makes me very distraught that Judi Dench.
Like, literally, Damien, the last song on this movie is Judi Dench telling you, like, so this is a story about cats. And now, if you want to talk to a cat, you must bow your head and say, sir. And then the cat might like you. I'm like, go fuck yourself, puss.
Oh, like, no, that's what Douglas, there's cat magicians. There's a cat wizard. I'm forgetting his name.
Mistopheles.
Like, it's like, no, there's another one that is diabolical.
Idris Elba.
Like his name. Right, Idris Elba. Like, it's the worst. Everything about it is bad.
Macavity.
It is. Yeah, oh my God. Macavity, yes. Oh my God. Douglas Robinson. It's not fun. Like, there's nothing to get out of this movie. Like, even though you did this to Andrew, once I did this to myself once I saw the siege, because I could have gone, there's no fucking way we're talking about cats. But I saw the thing and went, I was hoping it was like a Sonic the Hedgehog type thing, where I'd go see this and go, holy shit, this CG. And then see like an updated trailer and go, it's not even worth, like, none of it is worth it, Douglas. Because you have to watch, like, here's how bad this is. Years from now, when they fix everything, and it's like on Netflix or whatever, it's not even worth you looking at like, no part of this is okay. It's not. I can't come up with a game that would get me to laugh at this movie. That is how bad this movie is. Right? And I was seeing it in, like, best case scenario. And it was, like, I am not a person to walk out of movies. And I had to leave. Like, there's just nothing. Like, it's the one time. If Andrew was given the option of intermission, I am guaranteeing you Andrew would have left that movie. It's just because they don't, like, he's just like, I just have to watch it till the credits roll. But if they're like, take a break and come back, there's just no coming back to this movie. It truly, normally when movies are bad enough, there's like some anger, but then if it keeps going, you like come back around and you're just like, I am not angry that the movie is bad or that I wasted my time. I am angry at people, just humanity in general, at this.
I'm angry at Douglas.
Someone came to this idea. Yeah, not Douglas, of course, but someone came to this and spent money, and it is the worst. Like, no movie at the end of the year we're like, oh, this is the worst movie or whatever. Like, for every the worst category, like, this wins. Like, it's blowing out everybody. This is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Damien, I want to tell you how upset I was at this movie. I was upset that I had used my free ticket on it.
Yeah. I bought 2 tickets to go watch this movie. And it was just... The reason the movie wasn't there is because it literally was me and the girl that I brought to the... Like, no one else.
You didn't, like, tell her, say, honey, like, we pay for the whole room, so it's just me and you.
No. Andrew, the people that are supposed to tear the tickets weren't at the door. I've never seen that. In all my time going to Carib, it was in the big theater. It was Theater 1.
Oh, my goodness.
And the people at the door were... Like, they clearly were there at the 5 o'clock showing. Realized that no one is going to watch this movie. And then just went... We don't need to stand here. We can just go do something else. And they were right. Like, no one checked to see. Like, once we sat there, like, there's no one walking past. You know, like, normally there's someone that does a walkthrough or whatever. They just started rolling the trailers, and then they roll the movie. And then at some point, there was in, and we just left. We still have time before 2020. Which, by the way, I've been promised a lot of shit. From a lot of sci-fi.
Look, there's only one thing. There's only one thing we're sure we were promised that we're getting, which is the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. Akira promised it to me and it's happening.
Right. So I get in.
I do believe there is also self-lacing shoes.
Yeah. So there's I have a long list of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not calling anything out on the 1st of January. They have the full year. But come next year this time, I'm going to need answers.
Remind me, when is Blade Runner? Is that 2024?
Yeah. Something like that.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Minority Report is like in a year. So I'm going to need a lot of... Demolition Man came and went, but that's fine.
Oh, Demolition
Man. No one wanted that future. No one wants to see Taco Bell all the time.
Blade Runner is in 2019.
No. The new one.
That's 2049. Like
2040 something.
Oh, it's 40 right. something.
The first Blade Runner is this year.
Yeah, oh, but, wow. I mean, that movie's bad.
So, Douglas.
It makes me feel so good to say.
Douglas.
Yes, sir.
Do you need any space to, like, start apologizing from now, or are you going to work on it for, like, when you finally watch this movie in February? And by watch it, I mean watch the first 3 minutes and give up.
No, I don't need any apologies.
No. We're not apologizing to you.
Yeah, you are apologizing to Andrew. You have to apologize to Andrew.
Here's the thing. Maybe I fucked Andrew with this.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. My intention was to laugh at something.
Yeah.
I've just laughed at you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm good with that. I got the results.
That's why you need to apologize. Listen, I fucked myself. I get to blame.
And the funny thing is, Andrew, one thing you will not know is that the real reason you got to watch this movie is Damian.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was one small moment when I was feeling doubtful.
Yeah.
And I turned to Damian and I said, Damian, do you want to watch this movie?
Because
I know that Andrew don't want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Right? I know I want to watch it for nefarious reasons.
Right.
Right? So, what say you? And Damian was like, hey, I'm in.
Yeah, I need to see the CG bullshit.
So, Andrew,
yeah,
you can lay full blame.
It's your pick.
On Damian.
So, no. First of all, no, that's not how this works.
I don't blame the devil for making people gamble. Damian is the devil. You know this, right?
Yep. Listen, I got you guys good with Girls Trip. I'm still smiling. Every time I see a poster of that movie, I smile. Oh, I did it. Oh, it felt so good.
But know this, Andrew. I will share in your pain because the second it's available, despite the glowing reviews here, I will be watching
Here's what I'll say. No, Douglas, don't. Like, As much as I know Andrew hates you, don't do this. What was remarkable was last week when we did our podcast about the Star Wars disease.
Pew, pew, pew.
Andrew stopped talking to us at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andrew sent a message that clarified. Like, we surmised why Andrew didn't want to talk about us. Well, it was nice to see in writing that it was just anger that prevented him from talking about the movie. Andrew's just like, if you guys fuck me with this, I'm going to be angrier than having to listen to Damian walk through that Star Wars movie. I went, I know what that anger feels like. And so it was good to have confirmation that it wasn't. Because usually when Andrew stops talking to us, it's us. Like, we keep up enough shenanigans, just like, I'm too tired, I can't deal with these dipshits. It's nice to know that it wasn't me, as our prophet Shaggy said, that it was this atrocious movie. But Andrew, what I'll say to you is power through Mandalorian, because it is more than worth it.
No, I'm going to watch it. It's just when I pick the time to actually sit down with it.
No, yeah, man, I understand. I was bringing it up because while I don't know if it will, like, wash away any other bad feelings you have for that last movie, it will at the very least get you excited about Star Wars, because it's done that for me. I've never seen any Star Wars anything that legitimately got me excited for more Star Wars things. Like, I enjoyed Rogue One, but I knew that was a one-off. And so, there wasn't going to be a Rogue One part
Rogue two.
So, and that middle Star Wars movie, the parts that I enjoyed about it were, like, there was highlights, and then there was the rest of the movies. There was the fight, and then there was the jump to light speed destroying shit. And there was blowing up a couple of planets. But it wasn't the whole thing that got me. So I wasn't excited to see more. I knew there was going to be more, but I resigned myself to that. This Mandalorian shit. When they said that more was coming in 2020, I was legitimately excited and happy to know that I wasn't going to be because I was afraid I was going to be waiting multiple years, because if there's one thing about this show, it is fucking expensive. Disney is giving them a lot of money. And so I was worried that I was going to have to wait a long time to get more of it. When I saw they're like Mandalorian 2020, I was just like, fucking A. And even though it is literally the only thing I have Disney Plus for, I do not regret giving them the money so that I can get And this will be the first Star what I will Wars tell property you is I'll purchase.
Because well, it's happened already.
If you put it on Blu-ray.
But last Friday was the last episode of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
They need to come with a new original right quick. Because I don't know what else I'm paying this money for.
Just keep watching Mandalorian. Just with it. Now that Watchmen is done, when football is over, I usually transition to watching Watchmen. And so football ended this week. There was no new Watchmen. But you know what there is? Old Watchmen. It's like, let's keep this going. But Mandalorian is truly special. It's the first thing about Star Wars I've ever been excited about. So there's that. So there's a high and a low. It's just that, boy, that low was real bad. But Douglas, since you fucked Andrew with cats, you pull an audible. We are supposed to be talking about another movie.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to take it up?
Sure. Except I wonder if Andrew might be best to talk about or to describe this movie, because okay. What we tend to do, right? Mm-hmm. We introduce the movie first and say that, you know, the movie, by the way, is The Lighthouse. We're going to talk about The Lighthouse. And then we kind of go through what the movie's about. I don't actually know what this movie's about.
Oh my God, this is really...
Other than two people get to the lighthouse. Uh-huh. And boy,
that is the movie.
Yeah, that's the movie. But Andrew, maybe you can describe it better than I can. So
I mean,
I don't think there's.
I mean, you've gotten like 80% there, right?
See what that happened was
the movie stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, who are the lighthouse keepers. Robert Pattinson is a new recruit who's come to man the lighthouse with Willem Dafoe for the next 4 weeks, and over the next 4 weeks, the two men go pretty much insane. Whether it be from worshipping the lighthouse, or seagulls attacking them, or whatever nonsense can occur, alcohol and pirate nonsense continue as Robert Eggers gives us the lighthouse. And possibly one of my favorite questions in movies of 2019. You liked my lobster, didn't you?
I'm going to use that on dates from now.
Oh my God.
You have to like memorize the whole speech that he gives back in return.
I'm just out of context. You liked that lobster, didn't you?
I have to tell you, right? I kind of want to not like this movie, but also, I think I really like this movie.
The
here's
facts.
The thing, right? I took notes. Exactly. Uh-huh. So let's get there, Andrew. So I was under an incorrect impression, right? Because I have read, you know, I don't like to read. I don't like to watch a lot about a movie before
you continue. Damien, I want you to be my confirmation. And as he's about to talk about people's reviews that he's read, I did tell him about this movie like 3 months ago, right? All right, cool. Yes. Douglas, you may continue.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. But I don't believe you mentioned anything about these things. But anyway.
I need Damien, as he lists them out, just check them off for me if you remember.
All right.
It's not really a list. No. All it is that I was under the impression that this was mainly a horror movie.
Right. And you nothing said else. Nothing of the sort, Andrew.
Right?
Proving yet again that Douglas doesn't listen.
No, no. I didn't say that he said that.
I know.
Said that I don't recall him saying anything to make me think otherwise.
Damien?
Right.
Is that valid?
No, he was giving us a general review of the movie. Yeah. He didn't go deep into what it was because he was just telling us to go watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, this movie is amazing.
I think I did say it was very funny.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Okay, fair enough. Because my first note is, are you sure this isn't a comedy?
It is.
But to be fair, I will redact that statement because I looked at Wikipedia and the first thing it says was that it was a dark comedy.
Right.
a black comedic horror movie.
I mean, which is racist. Trudeau got away with it, but it's time to stop.
I'm not going to joke. The first time I heard somebody say black comedy, I thought they were talking about like Friday movies because I'd never heard someone say black to me like dark comedic. Right?
So today, me and Damien were having a conversation. Speaking of black comedy. Damien was talking about, I have a feeling he might be wrong about this, but the context is just amazing.
Brown University is a real place.
No, I know it's a real place. But he was talking about traditionally black colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. And he said that one of them was Brown. And
Douglas almost crashed the car.
I was dying. I mean, that's fucking nominative determinism.
Right. A traditional black university is called Brown. This is too good. All right, we're closing up this country now. We did it. Peak racism.
But yeah, so my first comment was, are you sure this isn't a comedy? Mm-hmm. My next comments, the next one was just one word. Farts.
Once again, Damien, can you check that one for me?
No, you didn't. You didn't mention
I'm farts. Going to pull back the episode and I'll let you know.
So, I mean, the farts were spectacular. Now, whoever wrote this movie, can you imagine reading the script? I hope that in the script, they had farts whenever he farts. But
it would say
for
toot.
A good hour out of the hour and a half, this guy was just on point.
Letting it rip.
Oh. And to see the frustration in Pattinson's face. Right. By the way, that's another thing. These teams play fucking hard.
The acting is tremendous.
So we can check all of that stuff. It's great. It's actually quite beautiful as well. The black and white.
Sick of these new directors taking advantage of black and white.
Boy,
they're just like
the way he plays with the contrast and the it's so good. It's so pretty. But yeah, farts.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember from
every movie,
what the hell is his name? I just finished watching Kill Bill Volume 1. So in my mind, I'm screaming, "Oh, Renishi!" But that's not
Quentin Tarantino.
No. Ozu. That's who it is. Ozu.
I know who you're talking.
Yeah, we had that one movie where the fart jokes were.
You mean
not
Good
just
Morning?
Fart jokes.
The movie Good Morning.
Good Morning. Yes, good okay. Morning. Yeah. Yeah. And it was essentially a horn that was making the noise, and it was perfect. That's kind of what was happening here, guys. If you want, you can watch this for nothing more than the sheer appreciation of a good fart joke.
I mean, you shouldn't, because you're not a crazy person, but you can.
No, I place into evidence.
Yes,
I exhibit B.
Mm-hmm.
Damien White.
Hi,
Andrew Robinson. Have you ever watched a movie with a prolonged and quite satisfying seagull feud?
Honestly, I don't think I have. You'd think there'd be more of them.
Oh my god.
Don't attack the seagulls, Douglas. It's bad luck.
Don't attack the seagulls. Just the way that... And
his initial reaction when he said he was going to kill... That slap across the face.
Yes.
It's like, all right, movie, you win.
And then when, after he slaps him, Pattinson just...
Right.
He goes into beast mode, right?
Right.
But then he stops. And it's almost as if he's completely frozen.
Yeah.
Because he's about to kill this man.
Mm-hmm.
But his mind is telling him, maybe that's not the best of options.
Maybe not today.
So my first question to you guys if you kill this is, the goat is the witch. The seagull is the lighthouse. What is his next animal of choice?
A penguin?
No, that's still a bird.
Oh, okay.
I need something else.
A narwhal.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a whale unicorn. So, I thought narwhals were a joke.
Oh, no, I know they're a real thing. I just don't know what exactly they are.
I saw a picture of one and was blown away that it's actually
that's
real.
A real creature.
I thought it was like unicorns, especially because you can literally describe it as a whale unicorn.
I think the only reason that comes to mind is the other day there was this news item about somebody stabbing up people in London, and they said some guy used a narwhal tusk to like ward him off to get him taken in. And there was like this video of like one guy with a fire extinguisher and the other guy with a narwhal tusk. Like,
I just searched narwhal. Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes up, I'm reading verbatim. Mm-hmm. The narwhal is the unicorn of the sea.
The internet sucks.
This is National Geographic.
The more important question in animal usage in film is, has Robert Eggers equaled, surpassed, or yet to get to the level of the fox of Lars von Trier's?
So actually, I have something to say about Lars when I talk about this movie. But before we get there, we've kind of mentioned it. Again, there are a number of reasons why this movie is just the funniest movie this year, except for maybe Booksmart. But the fact that, and I have it in my notes, Willem Dafoe curses Winslow, curses Pattinson, because he doesn't like his cooking. And it's not like, go fuck yourself. It's not Argo, fuck yourself. It's not Hugo, fuck yourself. No. Right? It is about a 5-minute curse.
Yeah.
And it is as cinematic as you can get.
He screams, honk! Oh.
Yep.
I love that scene.
And that scene, I thought it was perfect. But then they made it more perfect.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, after all of that, at the end, Pattinson just essentially shrugs and says, all right, have it your way.
He's like, all right.
All right, fine.
All right, I like your love. Fucking lunatic.
Oh my god. But okay, outside of that, this is where I start to have some problems with this movie.
Oh, fucking dare you.
Harum.
You made me watch Cats and now you want to talk bad about the lighthouse.
Yeah. No, we're at nitpicks.
Yeah, it really is. That's what it is, nitpicking.
Yeah,
but the thing about this movie, right? So first I will point out Lars. There is a sex scene in this movie that was made by Lars von Trier. You cannot tell me otherwise, right?
Because you didn't see like the full sex scene. Lars directed and then this guy edited out there.
Yeah,
if it was Lars, it would have been
like
5 minute
half hour long.
Uncut.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you doing this? Stop it.
But there are a couple of things. And one, I think might be my fault. And this is a very specific item. So this is beyond nitpicking. But as I said, I really enjoyed the performances in particular. I really liked Pattinson. He has shown himself to be much more than a twinkle of the eye.
some would say is sparkly vampire.
But he comes into this movie, and Andrew, please tell me if I'm wrong, because I know I have been wrong with this in the recent past. Circa Witcher, mm-hmm. who I thought for some time that Cavill had an American accent, mm-hmm. but what happened to me is that he just does this whisper shit so much mm-hmm. and doesn't have a lot of lines in the first couple of episodes that clearly I was just making assumptions.
Everybody's making jokes that he's doing a Batman voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what he's doing, eh? but in this movie, I feel like, and I'm of two minds. One, I could be wrong because I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. Or two, maybe it actually is tied into some revelations they make in the story.
Yeah.
So Pattinson, when he starts off, I feel like his accent is more maybe Irish, like somewhere around that side. But as the movie continues, I feel like he morphs into a strong American accent. Did anybody else know, care, or catch on to anything like that?
I did not, and I've seen this movie twice. I think maybe it's because Willem Dafoe was so large for me that Pattinson, I'm like, you're doing some cute work. Thank you for supporting Willem Dafoe.
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right, fair enough. But here's a real thing that, not necessarily going to say it's a bad thing, but it's something that kept me consternated for the whole film. And in that consternation, I didn't enjoy myself as much as I would have wanted to. And the consternating fact is, you cannot trust anything in this movie to be real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
You see
Squid monsters.
Mm-hmm. You see dead people.
Mm-hmm.
You realize, and the thing is, right? If you are able to follow with a timeline. So there is a lot of drink in this movie, right?
A lot.
But at first, there's a lot of drink with Captain Ahab, right? with Willem Dafoe. He's the only person that drinks.
His name is Barboso. Get it right.
All right.
Or easy Jack Sparrow.
So he's the only one that drinks for quite some time in this movie. Mm-hmm. And the visions start from there. And again, you could say, but Douglas, that makes sense because he's drinking. Except this movie, in my mind, mm-hmm. is framed through the eyes of Pattinson.
You're right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of the visions are Pattinson's visions. So for Pattinson to have visions, and it's not influenced by the liquor, right? That mm-hmm. is a bit of an issue, right? We could just be saying that, you know, he's a little unsettled or whatever it is. I don't know what the underlying
haunted.
Narrative of that is. He's haunted by his past, which of course there's a past, right? But anyway.
Can you do the rest of the podcast in that voice?
And the visions get stronger, mm-hmm. faster, like that song, mm-hmm. Throughout the movie. Now, that kind of makes sense as you see that Pattinson starts to drink more.
Mm-hmm.
They run out of drink and start to drink paraffin and other non-alcoholic beverages to pass the time, right? So that I can get, yeah?
Yeah.
But the fact that it was happening before all of that happened mm-hmm. makes me wonder whether it's supposed to be more a ghost story mm-hmm. than it feels. Here's the thing about this movie, right? Mm-hmm. There is that. That is a bit of an issue that I have with it.
Right, I can see that.
The other thing is, it feels almost like an in-between.
See, weirdly enough, right? Like, as you describe that, and that's a very good idea, I didn't really think about that. I almost think that as a reason to love the movie more rather than a complaint.
Yeah, and I want to watch this movie again, and I feel like I will love it a lot more the second time. And the reason why I kind of hear you on that and kind of agree is that The thing about this movie, I feel like essentially Eggers said, here what? I'm making a movie for the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Because I know Andrew doesn't like Antichrist. Mm-hmm. All right?
What if I can trick him?
But also, hold on, not even just that. Mm-hmm. He then looked at me and you, Damien, yes. And said, you fuckers don't like Under the Skin.
Mm-hmm.
What if... I make a movie
to bring these two dipshits together
that is kind of in between both of those things so that the Under the Skin asshole mm-hmm. can like it
yeah.
and the Antichrist like ridiculous people like it too. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel this movie is. I feel this movie is, it can be described as a mixture between those two things.
Throwing as much shitty jokes as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. The jokes.
It's something maybe, to bring us together.
Yes. Yes. So mm-hmm. so there's something about
one movie to
the fact that it is, because you can see it in the visual how the visuals are put to you, how mm-hmm. how graphic they are, how I don't even want to say obscene, though some people could say obscene, but I mean in terms of mm-hmm. fantastical, yeah. right? That they are. This is very much Lars von Trier-esque, right? I can't remember why, but I do remember catching a vibe like, ooh, this is kind of Under the Skin like as well, mm-hmm. right? Something to do with the mysteriousness of
right.
it.
It's a very... It feels like a murky kind of... Like the mm-hmm. movie itself is like drenched in something to make... Just to keep you guessing the entire, like yeah. Under the Skin did that, but and you're so right, where Under the Skin failed was there was like it was creepy and weird, but it felt like it was doing that in the service of something I didn't appreciate, which is I guess why Andrew loved that movie. Well, here the second this movie starts, I am on board because they quickly establish also Under the Skin. Maybe the story was too big mm-hmm. for what they were trying to achieve. Like they were trying to do too much. But when you isolate two people and you just have it be about them, everything else that you layer on top of that, because it is grounded in these two people. And as you said, you're not sure how anything starts. By the time this movie ended, because I was seeing the movie for what you thought, you were just like, these things aren't lining up. But as the movie came closer to the end, it did the thing that The Witch did for me, which is why the second time I saw The Witch, I appreciated it more, where it became very clear that the movie didn't care anymore about making sense.
Exactly.
The movie is the movie, mm-hmm. and you're either coming with them or mm-hmm. he can't help.
And that leads me to my last two very minor points, right? One is that, as you said, Damien, I think the reason why I will like this movie a lot more the second time mm-hmm. is because I now know to try and not care. Don't look at this as if it makes sense.
Right.
Right? Just decide that you enjoy the visuals.
Part of your brain. Turn
that off. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And the other thing I really like, and I don't know if anybody caught it, but, and I feel like I'd love to talk about some spoilers, but not here, if we can talk about mm-hmm. it later. But one thing is, this is one of those movies that, for me, it folds back on itself,
mm-hmm.
right? And they do it in such a ridiculously grotesque Larsian kind of way, you know. So yeah,
I find it fascinating, the movies in which you guys decide to, as you like to put it, turn off your critical yeah. brain, right?
Yeah, we like
where,
and so we turn it off.
I see these movies as the movies that are more open to critical thought, because not in the sense of okay, I need to make the story make linear sense from A to B. But I need to see what I can gather from what the movie is telling me. You guys talk to me about ghost stories, and I'm like, oh, so it's about men having to live out their horrors in life repeatedly, which we've seen in many ghost stories before. That doesn't make sense. But I guess they're more clear as to like what the reason of this ghostly purgatory is, right? I see things throughout this movies, and I saw the same thing in The Witch, where it's about the horrors that these people must endure throughout their times. Like, even just the War of Seagulls, which is what I like to call it. Mm-hmm. Right? And the way these two men jab at each other. I think one of my favorite moments is the moment when Robert Pattinson is painting the lighthouse, and and Willem Dafoe is shrieking at him. Squawking is probably the better word. Right? These are the things that I find more critically enjoyable than, say, trying to figure out how films like, say, a Terry Gilliam has its wibbly-wobbly logic to then get us to the end point. Right. Or even when I think we have talked about Jordan Peele's Us, and I think I got really deep into how the nooks of those story elements all kind of lock together perfectly. Right? Mm-hmm. I just find that fascinating.
It's not really a satisfying answer, because when I think about it, it doesn't satisfy me, even though it is my reaction. But it's a thing we say a lot, where when we like the movie, then what we do is all of the parts that we would critique in other movies is no longer a bug, but a feature. Like, this movie not making sense doesn't irk me, because I enjoyed the movie, and at some point I just accepted that that is not what this movie is. It is not about making actual critical sense. It is about the feeling the movie gives you. And Lars is a master of that, and that is why I love all of his movies. If you follow what he's doing and try to make it actually make sense, it will, the house of cards will collapse. It's the magic trick disappears. I did that for you specifically, and that's why I hurry up to move.
And the Jellicle cats appear.
And the Jellicle, right? The Jellicle moon will fuck it hitch. Goddamn movie. Anyways, a lot of these movies, there's a lot of moving parts. It's like a magic trick, It breaks down when you see the parts move. Like, if you saw that there was a trapdoor and the person falls under the trapdoor and then they run around or whatever, and someone at the end goes, ta-da, you'd go, fuck you, and you stupid magic trick, you dirty sons of bitches. But when it works and you don't even want to see, you know it's a trick, but you don't want to see the moving parts, you're just fascinated by the trick, then it doesn't matter how they get you from point to point. What matters is the feeling. And it is why I truly hate the rest of the movies in the Rambo series. Because the first one, they thought they were making like a Delta Force movie. And so that movie is okay, but it isn't the second one is the one where they lost their minds. And that one is the perfect intersect. The rest of them are just dull action movies where people think that people like the first two because of all the rootin' tootin' gun shooting, which some people might, but that misses what the movie is. And you saw that more clearly in the later Die Hard movies, where they kept making Die Hard movies, but no one wanted to see any of them because you had John McClane, you had him doing impossible shit the entire time, but there's nothing there. And it's not just that it doesn't make sense, because Dad with a Vengeance doesn't make any sense. But,
excuse me,
no one gives a shit about the first and third Die Hard movies. They're perfect movies, and we love them.
Yes.
Right. Because you've never stopped to go, none of this shit makes any sense, because you don't need to.
Simon says, right. Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. And that is what I really enjoy movies like this. It is why I had to come back and apologize for The Witch. Because the first time I watched that movie, I thought it was a capital H horror movie and it was just garbage. And then I don't know why. Part of it was definitely Andrew's enthusiasm. When I went back and watched the movie, now knowing what the movie wasn't, because it wasn't a horror movie, I was able to just watch the movie. And then everything...
I really should watch that movie again.
Douglas, because everything clicked. Like,
because watching this movie, I mean... Ooh.
I would take this movie over The Witch because this has a lot more jokes. Also, a lot of jokes.
It's pronounced The Witch.
The Witch. There's a lot more jokes. And... there's no mermaid sex. this movie is... like, after 30 minutes, you get what this movie is. And then that is when they start being... that is when they take the craziness just all the way. They're just like, all right, Robert Pattinson came. He's working with this old piece of shit. Who the only time their friends is in the nights when they're when he's drinking. The rest of the time, he's just a taskmaster and just the worst. And you're just like, all right, I get it. And the second, the movie is so perfect with this. The second you're like, this can't just be what the movie. It can't just be, I mean, I'd watch it, but this can't be what this movie is. The movie is just like, all right, we have a one-eyed seagull that we need you to fight. And then it just keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder. It's like, I love this movie. Oh my God. Like, Andrew told us, and I believed him. I remember even saying at some point, once this movie was available, Merry Christmas to me. It's like, yes, someone saved me. I went into this movie with really high expectations. And this movie is wherever... Cats is on the pendulum. This is the complete opposite end. Because I went into Cats knowing this movie was going to be trash and still wasn't ready. And I went into The Lighthouse knowing this movie was supposed to be good and it still blew me out. Like, I gave Robert Pattinson a lot of shit despite the fact that I didn't see his truly bad movies. I saw half of the first one. I've never seen. I haven't seen a minute of any of the other vampire movies. But was comfortable giving him shit. Because we've seen this story. Pretty boys that are like heartthrobs that never go anywhere. There's like one or two. Leonardo DiCaprio's. Most of those people are like Robin. Are like, what? The Lopez guy that's on E!
Oh, Mario Lopez, AC Slater.
Right. Yeah. Most of them turn out to be AC Slater. You're just like, I understand why you aren't in movies because you're bad at this. We saw him like take all his vampire money and then start doing like weird small movies. And we understood that he was trying to do the turn. But even... like, watching him get better just year on year. Like,
yeah, man. I remember, I don't think I've watched this movie properly, mm-hmm. but Rover was one where people were excited. Mm-hmm. I know I was really impressed with the movie in general, but with him as well, with the Safdie Brothers, Good Times.
Right.
That was, oh.
Like, I didn't love that. That is a movie I know I need to go back and watch.
Yeah, man. Because, I think you should. Actually, that is a movie, and when I said that, obviously not... this, but Uncut Gems, I really want to be able to watch in the next week or so.
It's
so, so Safdie Brothers, excuse me, can you please let me have this?
Buy the ticket now. We'll go to the Lightbox and watch it. It's out.
It's still playing in theaters?
It just started playing on Christmas Day.
I guess I'm fucked.
The answer is no and never.
Though, to be fair, this is one of those movies that it's indie enough that it might... Well, no, it would have gone on the same day.
If it wins things, we'll see it in Carib.
I do not want to watch this in Carib.
I mean, why would I watch this? The movie is dirty enough that you won't notice the screen problems.
Yeah. Yeah, the Safdie Brothers are... I remember that from
Filthy Animals. Yes.
I remember that from the other movie where it's like, this is a grimy ass movie.
Yeah, man.
Which works. But listen, for everybody who listens to this podcast, however you can, you should watch The Lighthouse. It's like, at this point, we've come to accept that both these actors are tremendous actors. It's still fun to watch both of them play off each other. It's still fun to watch these characters, well, one in particular, slowly lose his mind. The ending is satisfying.
No, I would say both of them lose their... Well, I mean, no. It's weird because... Right. And again, when we talk about this... We can talk about this a little later.
The ending is satisfying.
I really like the ending.
It is one of the very few movies I've watched where I really appreciated not just the score in the movie, but the audio design.
There's
the foghorn in the beginning.
Yeah, the foghorn, and it keeps going.
And the waves, and the crashing waves.
And it gets more and more aggressive, and then that plays into the actual score of the movie, where the score that is being played behind, especially transitions, and the audio keeps changing and gets more and more eerie as you go along in the movie. And it was just fascinating that was something that jumped out at me in a movie that, like, most of the time I don't come on here and talk about audio because I assume that people are good at their jobs. Like, both teams,
Damien, we saw Cats,
that the audio is good. Nothing about that.
People aren't necessarily good at their jobs.
No, I mean for good movies. I'm not talking for bad movies, everyone. There's times one person played hard and everybody else is trash. Cats is one of the very few examples where no one played. There's no just an empty field. Filled with trash. I really love this movie, and the movie that I watch immediately after, I don't know why, but trust me, this is a tremendous double feature. This movie also came out this year. Ready or Not plays very well.
I just started watching that movie again. It's so good.
As a double feature in this movie. There's two movies where on its face, you're just like, this is supposed to be a horror movie, but none of them are in it. One is more creepy than the other, but they're both fun. Fun as shit. So Andrew, you didn't make this movie, and we are going to watch this movie anyway, but you saw it first and told us to watch it, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Unlike Douglas, fuck you, Douglas.
So Andrew, what did you think about this movie?
He told us 5 weeks
ago. I adore this movie.
You should have just gone meh.
What do you think of my lobster is the question.
Oh, I need to write that. I don't have my phone though. I need to write that down. Just to ask people randomly.
You like my lobster, don't you? Don't lie to me. You like the lobster.
Yeah, just like when somebody's upset with me, I just bring it up, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, someone's like, Damien, just don't talk to me. I was like, hey, listen, you like my lobster, don't you? Come, just admit it. You like my lobster. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I'll be happy, and they'll still be annoyed, but I'll be happy.
No, you need to memorize that curse, though, because that will just cement it.
Like, I mean, I should.
What I love about this movie is I love the way they commit to everything. I love the ways in which Willem Dafoe is playing almost a cartoon character in my mind, but because the movie doesn't crack at any point, it never really...
Yeah, there's no almost.
I love watching the way that Willem Dafoe turns Robert Pattinson. Like, something as small as there's a moment where Willem Dafoe tells him to go and fix up the oil in the lighthouse, and he drags up this barrel up the lighthouse. for the man to tell him he could have just taken this small bucket or whatever it was and make sure you put that thing back down there.
Goddamn lighthouse. All the interactions are tremendous, but we do. If we talk about them, we're just going to end up spoiling this book. And that is the part of the movie that is truly spectacular, is watching them interact.
One of my moments, which I think is one of my favorite almost horror moments, isn't a horror moment in the sense that it is a striking image, as you guys have mentioned, things like seagulls or light monsters or even squids, right? It's a moment of Willem Dafoe with an axe. Oh. Right?
Oh, him running with that axe. Mwah.
Robert Pattinson carrying out some buckets of shit. Right? Yes. This movie is just jam-packed with moments that build up the frustration in almost the best ways. Right? And everything to me makes sense. Right? As seeing this movie as a completely cerebral effect of watching his mind go crazy. Right?
I also love the aspect ratio of this movie.
I love how they use it, because there are even some shots where like 80% of the screen is just like a cliff, and then just the top level is like you see them walking across the cliff. And I love seeing things like that in movies. I remember talking about it when we talked about Ida, and seeing all of the top level of that movie just being empty space, where it felt like it meant something completely new in the movie, as opposed to just being like, oh, he framed it wrong. Right? I love the way when you see the two of them in their bedroom together, where it almost reminded me of Night of the Hunter, where you would see this symmetry of Robert Mitchum and the woman in that movie whose name I've forgotten, the wife. I loved everything about how this movie is made. I love even more when it doesn't quite turn to horror yet, but they're still almost like giving up on life, but they're having fun, so they're like dancing together, right? In their like alcoholic shenanigans, right?
Andrew, I feel you're giving away all of this movie. Until there's nothing left in this movie.
I also love every Willem Dafoe speech. There are like probably around 5 in this movie, right? And he gives these great fucking toasts. But yeah, this movie is top notch. I've seen it twice. Mm-hmm. And
listen, we're out of rations.
I adore this movie from end to end. And I think if I remember from the festival right after this movie, I watched a Nicolas Cage Lovecraft movie in which he kept screaming about alpacas and going crazy insane. And for some reason, this movie was more insane than that. So, take that how you will.
Why are you watching Nicolas Cage movies? Because
it was at a film festival.
Candid was midnight, and Nicolas Cage sang to me. So leave me alone.
That's what happens.
Oh, was he actually there this time? Oh, nice. When I was there, so that would be 16, there was Dog Eat Bite Man or whatever it's called.
Dog Bites Man?
No, that's not
Dog Eat Dog, I think it was.
Dog Eat Dog, and he's in that movie. Actually, Defoe is in that movie as well.
Man Seeking Woman.
But Nick Cage just did like a video for us from Khan or whatever the fuck he was.
I remember falling asleep in that movie, and I've never watched it again.
I keep saying I want to watch it again because there are things I like about it, but I wasn't necessarily overwhelmed.
You should stop lying to yourself. It's never went down.
But yeah, The Lighthouse. I'm glad you guys finally saw it.
Yes.
Because now I get to talk about it on the end of year, and there'll be no complaints.
Sorry, what movie is this now?
The Lighthouse.
Yes.
What? I don't remember that.
Okay, understood.
Mm-hmm. That cannot be on the top 10. No way. Listen, there's Booksmart.
10 Booksmarts. That's the end of the list, right? 10 Booksmarts. If you break up Booksmart into 10-minute chunks, then it becomes 10 different movies. And now you have to rate the 10-minute chunks.
There's a...
there's only 7 scenes of that girl teleporting from house to house. Oh, and one scene with a teddy bear.
I'd want to put up the. I'd want to make sure that the dinner, the mystery murder mystery dinner is like up there in the top 3-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my only input right now.
Right. So you still need. There's still 2 slots for you to show. There's 8 pieces of that movie that would make the top 10.
Cool. The life of-